Well, amen. We praise the Lord for the special music that, again, that we have here through this service and that we've been able to enjoy the last couple of services as we've done it here online. And we're thankful for the technology that God has given to us and, of course, the church family and the musical ability that God has given to our church family to be able to sing the songs that minister and encourage us. And so we praise the Lord for each and every one of these specials. If you have your Bible tonight, I invite you to take your Bible and turn to Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. And while you're turning there, I'll give you a little bit of background if you're not familiar or just kind of help you to become familiar with the text here. The children of Israel have just come out of Egypt here in this passage. And of course, we remember God sent those plagues there. And with a strong arm, God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. And so now they're on their journey to the Promised Land. And God brings them to the Red Sea. And so the Red Sea lies in front of them. And they turn around and behind them, Pharaoh's army is closing in on them. Pharaoh had decided he wanted to go back after the children of Israel. So his army is closing back in on them. And God brings them to a point of pause in their life. And I want to preach a message this evening entitled, When God Presses Pause. When God Presses Pause. Let's read verses 10 down through 14 here of this passage. The Bible says in verse 10 of Exodus chapter 14, And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes. And behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Verses 13 and 14 will be our text this evening. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And again, the title of tonight's message, When God Presses Pause. Let's pray, and then we can get into the message tonight. Lord, as we come before you, we're so thankful, Lord, that in our time of need, that you've given us exactly what we have need of. Lord, we have your words. Lord, we have the stories of Scripture from which we can learn the lessons that we have need of. Lord, I'm thankful to be able to look into your word tonight. I'm thankful for the message that you've given to me. Lord, I pray that you would help to apply it to all of our hearts and our lives. I believe it's what we would have need of. And Lord, I think of those in our congregation tonight, Lord, who all of us are somewhat in a period of waiting on you right now. Lord, I pray that you'd help us just to watch for what you're working in our lives. And help us to follow you forward by faith when you tell us it's time to move. And so, Lord, please be with each and every one of us tonight. I pray that you would once again use this message in all of our hearts and lives to give us exactly what we would have need of this evening. We love you and we thank you. In your name I pray. Amen. I think all of us know what it's like to deal with disappointments, especially at this point in our lives. And, of course, sometimes those disappointments, they can be somewhat small. And sometimes they can be major disappointments. I was thinking about some of the things in my life, and I remember the story from when I was a kid in particular, a disappointment. And of course, you remember when you are a kid, some of these things, they seem like such a bigger deal at the time than they really are. As I remember, I believe it was Memorial Day weekend, and there was a family in our church that had a boat, and they said, We want to take your family out on our boat, out in the lake area. We lived and grew up in Cleveland, and of course the lake was right in front of us at all times, and such a beautiful lake that we had there in that region. And yet we didn't get to go out on it very often, and so this family, they had told us we'll go out on our boat, and we'll be able to take you guys, we'll do some tubing, and do some swimming and some fishing, and just spend the whole day out on the water. And it seemed like such a great time. So, as a kid, you begin to plan ahead. And in my mind, I'm counting down the days till this Memorial Day to where you could go with this family and we could go out onto the water. And I remember a day or so ahead of time, my dad said to us, well, the weather isn't looking great. He said, well, to keep an eye on the weather. And the problem with Lake Erie is it's such a big lake, and oftentimes storms will kick up very quickly. And if you're not careful, you can be out in the middle of the lake and not be able to get back and land in time because it's such a big lake. And so it's very dangerous. And so, of course, as we began to look ahead at the weather, I remember waking up that morning and looking outside and seeing gray skies and realizing that my day of fun had been dashed. And wouldn't you know it? We didn't have one storm all day. I remember it not raining all day, and I'm thinking, man, I got gypped. I was planning on spending the whole day out of the water, and that day was such a disappointment to me as a little kid. And as I look back on that now, and of course as we experience greater disappointments as we go through this life, that seems relatively small. But I think we all understand what it's like to deal with disappointments. And the truth is, no one enjoys when our progress gets stalled. No one really enjoys detours or delays, especially as we live this life. I don't know how well you know me, but some of those who know me well realize that I'm not a patient person. I suppose I come by that naturally. I come from a long line of Folgers that really didn't give a great dose of patience. And so, especially when I think about traveling, when I want to get from one destination to another. And of course, now we have GPS systems, and those GPS systems, they give you that estimated time of arrival. And so I've come to look at that as a game. And I don't know, you may feel this way. I always like to try to beat that estimated time of arrival. I feel accomplished, and I feel good about myself, and maybe I should slow down and take my time, but that's kind of the way I look at it. And so anytime I run into traffic or anytime I come upon a detour, it's a frustrating thing for me. And the truth is, life can be somewhat like that. You know, we know where we're headed, and all of us have plans. Some people plan out years in advance, and I've heard, of course, of 5-year plans or 10-year plans. I'm right here, and this is where I want to be in 5 years. And some of us plan month to month. My wife is a planner, and so she'll keep a planning book, which, by the way, in 2020, we really just had to chuck that one out the window. You really can't plan for anything right now. But all of us have plans in our lives, and we know where we are. We know where we're headed, when we should get there, and yet sometimes God says, hold on. And He presses pause in our lives. And the truth is, in those moments of just us waiting on God, there's some incredible lessons that we can learn. Consider the children of Israel. Of course, here in our passage, they had been freed from bondage. Again, for centuries, they had been in bondage there in Egypt. And God, through a miraculous set of circumstances, 10 plagues, in fact, came and really decimated the world power that was at Egypt at that time. Upon their exit, the Bible tells us that the Egyptians basically threw gifts towards the children of Israel. They said, here, take these jewels, and they threw all kinds of things at them. The Bible says that the children of Israel spoiled the Egyptians. And yet, everything seems like it's going according to plan until we find them in the passage here. They're standing on the banks of the Red Sea. The enemy is closing in behind them. There's nothing in front of them as far as progress is concerned. And that's when Moses stands before them and he says this, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You know, as I read this passage, I can't help but think and feel that we may be at a Red Sea moment in our lives as well. Of course, it's the year 2020, and it seems like it's the year that God has hit pause in all of our lives. This year that God has said, you know, I know what some of your plans were, but hold on, hold on. And He's somewhat hit pause in our lives, and of course, we've all dealt with disappointments. Think about maybe vacations that you had planned that may now have been canceled and because of the coronavirus, or maybe other plans I think about, of course, our teenagers, and every year they get to go to camp, and yet this year is one of those years where God hits pause, and they're not able to go to camp because of the coronavirus. I think even of the past 20 years or so, or greater than 20 years here at our church, we've always held a ladies' conference at the beginning of August, and yet this year God's hit pause on that, and we won't have a ladies' conference this year. Can't help but feel for those that are graduating high school or graduating college this year because they may have had trips that were planned and yet those things had to be canceled. Their graduation looked a little bit different, or some are still waiting to graduate and may not be able to have a graduation ceremony. And so all of us have had to put our lives, possibly our plans, on hold. And yet there are some natural reactions. There's some responses that just naturally come out of us when we go through these times of difficulty, or these times when maybe God hits pause in our lives. And probably all of us have felt or experienced some of the things that the Israelites were experiencing here in this passage. I see the Israelites were experiencing fear. The Bible says in verse 10 of Exodus chapter 14, "And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord." They looked back and they saw this army closing in on them, and they have the Red Sea in front of them. And the Bible says they were sore afraid. Listen, depending on what news you watch, or depending on whether you watch the news at all or how you consume your news, can I tell you there's possibly a natural reaction of fear from time to time? Some of the stories that we see on the news of where our world is, and depending on what we read and what we listen to, there's a lot of fear that's going on out there. And so I think probably every one of us have dealt, at least at some point during this time of coronavirus and then some of the other things we're experiencing in our nation right now, maybe a little bit of fear, not really knowing all that's going to take place. I also see here in this passage, not only did the children of Israel, not only did they deal with fear, but it certainly seems that they dealt with some uncertainty. Look at verse 11, the Bible says, "And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt?" It's almost like they're saying, "Listen, Moses, did you just bring us out in the wilderness so that we would die? I mean, is this our final resting place right here on the banks of the Red Sea? We could have stayed in Egypt and died." And so there was some uncertainty there. And I think as we all look ahead, probably all of us are dealing with uncertainties. How long does this last? How long will we deal with the coronavirus? How will this affect my family? What does the election later on this year look like? Maybe some were already dealing with a job situation that maybe wasn't all that stable in the beginning, and yet now you're looking at it and you're saying, "Man, with this and unemployment, all those kind of things, how will this affect my finances?" I understand some parents are uncertain and they're saying, "Can my kids go back to school in the fall? Please let my kids go back to school in the fall." And so there's some uncertainty that we deal with. And then also I think there's some frustration. We see that here in the passage, verse 12, "Isn't this the children of Israel saying to Moses, is this not the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." They're saying, "Listen, we told you this was going to take place, and now you made the decision to bring us out here, and man, there's some frustration." And again, I think that all of us could probably admit to times of frustration as we think about this virus and how it's affected our lives in 2020. Maybe frustration at some of what the government's decisions have been. And listen, I've heard it from all sides. Some think that they haven't done enough, and some think they've done too much. And so, again, listen, one of the natural responses is that of frustration. And so we have fear, and we have uncertainty, and we have frustration, and probably all of us have felt some of these things. And yet, can I say this? Don't get me wrong. I don't want to say that God has caused this virus. It's not as though he's created this virus and then put it into this world. But I think we understand that God has allowed it. We understand that all things are under his control, and these things have to be allowed. And of course, part of this is just the natural living of life and realizing that our bodies that began to decay when we were born are subject to disease and those kind of things. But I want you to understand, listen, if God has allowed a pause in our lives, He's allowed it for a reason, and there's some valuable lessons that we can learn from it. And as I look at this passage of Scripture in Exodus chapter 14, I see three lessons from this passage that I think all of us can learn at those points in which God hits pause in our lives. The first lesson I want you to see here from this passage is this. It's the lesson that God is always in control. God is always in control. He says in verse 13, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not." I love the confidence that Moses exudes at this point. As he stands before the children of Israel, let me remind you, it would have been somewhat unsettling for him as the leader of the children of Israel. I mean, he has led them to this point, and we don't have an exact number, but we believe there's probably around 2 million of the children of Israel, plus all of their possessions. And he's leading them, and so God brings them to the banks of the Red Sea. They look ahead, and it's not like they can swim. It's not like there's a boat charter service that they can just hop on a boat and it'll take them across the Red Sea. They don't really have weapons to fight for themselves. And then they turn around and they see the children the Egyptians closing in on them. And it looks like they're about ready to be taken back into captivity there in Egypt. And it would have been unsettling. But I want to remind you that Moses had just watched God work miracle after miracle to bring them to this point. He'd watched God do incredible things in their lives to bring them to this point. And I also want to remind you, listen, this situation didn't take God by surprise. In fact, go back to chapter 13 and verse 17. The Bible says, "And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt." This is exactly what God had led them to do. God was in complete control, and there they are standing on the banks of the Red Sea. And I want to remind you, listen, that this situation did not take God by surprise. And Moses would stand before them, and he would say, "Fear not. There's maybe some uncertainties, but you don't have to worry because God is always in control." In those moments when God presses pause in your life, when he puts you in the waiting room of life, if you will, and you're just kind of sitting there and you're waiting on God, can I tell you tonight that the devil will tempt you to think that God isn't in control any longer? He'll bring things into your mind like, well, if God was in control, then this wouldn't be happening in your life. And yeah, maybe God's in control of somebody else's life, but in your life, you can't really trust God. Because if God was in control, things wouldn't be going the way that they're going for you. Possibly, if God's in control, wouldn't he work differently than this? Wouldn't he take us another way? I mean, there's other ways to get to the promised land than going through the Red Sea. And so if God was truly in control, don't you think he would have taken us another way? And listen, I want to say to you tonight, in 2020, in the midst of this pause that we've all experienced for the past several months now, I want to say to you tonight, the words of Moses, fear not. Because if you're saved, listen, God is in control of your life. And yes, there's battles all around us. And yes, there's challenges all around us. And yes, we seem to be sitting in the waiting period of life, but God is in control. I want you to turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, a powerful passage of Scripture. This is, the Apostle Paul writes this as he's writing to the Corinthian church. And of course, we know some of the experiences that Paul had and some of the battles that Paul had and the persecution. And of course, Paul was in prison. He was left for dead. And so listen, there were some disappointments as he lived the Christian life. And he says in verse 1 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. He says, God has called us to this place, and God has given us this ministry, and God has given us mercy, so that, yes, there's some difficulties, but we don't faint because God is in control. I love this because he goes on to say in verse 7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Do you get what he's saying there? He's saying, listen, God has allowed Jesus to come to this earth and to die on the cross for our sins and to redeem us. And we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. It's a treasure so that God's power can be displayed in our lives. And when that's the case, listen, he says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Boy, have you felt troubled the last couple of months? Have you gone through some times of difficulty? And yet Paul says, listen, we're troubled, but we're not distressed. He goes on to say there, we're perplexed, but not in despair. And I wonder how many of us could say there have been times recently I've felt perplexed. I mean, you look at what's going on, I'm just scratching my head like I don't understand what's going on. And we're perplexed there, he says, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. I would say this, as Americans, we've had it pretty easy thus far. There may come a time as our world goes further away from God that we may have to deal with some type of persecution. But he says, listen, even if we're persecuted, we're not forsaken because God is in control. Cast down, but not destroyed. And then I love this, verse 16. He says, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And then catch verse 17, for our light affliction. That's what he calls what we're dealing with right here. It's a light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Can I remind you tonight that no matter what you're dealing with, if you're in that waiting room like it seems like all of us are, God is always in control. And we learn this lesson most often in those times in which God simply hits pause in our life. Because it's in those times that he reveals his plan for us. And so as we go back to Exodus chapter 14, the first lesson that we find here from this passage is this, that God is always in control. And the second lesson that I want to show you from this passage is this, not only is God always in control, but secondly, God always has a plan. God always has a plan. He said there in verse 13 of Exodus chapter 14, Moses stands before the people and he says, fear ye not. And then he says this, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. See God begin to work his plan. And of course, Moses, as he says this here, he's referring to God's plan for the children of Israel. By the way, I've looked and I can't find where God had already told Moses what his plan was. I mean, Moses is somewhat in the same uncertainty as the children of Israel because God has not yet revealed his plan to him. But I want you to understand that Moses knew God had a plan. And I want to remind you tonight, if we believe that God is in control of all things, then we must also believe that God knows the way forward. If God's in control, can I tell you, he has a plan for us as we move forward. So what does the future look like? Listen, sometimes I'm thankful that we don't know what the future looks like. Because quite frankly, it may scare us. And I don't know what my future looks like, and I don't know what your future looks like, but I know this, God has a plan for my life, and God has a purpose. Because I wouldn't be here if God didn't have a plan and a purpose for my life. And listen, if you're here tonight, if you're saved, and we know that God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And he will reveal that plan and that purpose when the time is right. So sometimes he presses pause in our life and we say, God, what are you trying to do? What are you doing here in this moment? I don't really understand it. And Lord, what does the future look like? Well, I can remind you that God has a plan and a purpose. And in his perfect time, he will reveal what the future looks like. He'll have us step forward in faith. So what do we do now? What do we do in this time of pause where we're standing on the banks of the Red Sea, if you will, and the enemy is closing in behind us, and the enemy is getting dangerously close, and I'm getting a little antsy. I'm wondering what I should be doing here. God, are you really working in this situation? And you say, what should we do? And I remind you the words that Moses reminded the children of Israel. He said, stand still. Just wait on God. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Do the things that He has called you to do. Can I remind you something all of us should be doing right now? Is fellowshipping with God regularly. Reading our Bible and praying and staying in constant communion with Him. Listen, especially in those times of fear and uncertainty, that we would draw in that communication, in that communion with God. We have to trust Him. Attend church services. And listen, I understand that online is less than ideal, but it's what we have for this time. So get connected with the church family and do the things that God wants you to do. Stay connected through the preaching of God's Word. And wait. And then when God says, move again, step out in faith. Verse 16, God comes to Moses. He says, but lift up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts and upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. Because there is a time in which God says, okay, now it's time to move. And guess what, Christian? It's always a step of faith. For the Israelites, it was a step of faith. Why? Well, because there's a lot of water out there. I mean, these walls on the left and right-hand side of me, though that's a lot of water that, listen, could come crashing down on me at any time. There's another step of faith here, because if we can go through on dry land, that means the Egyptians can come through on dry land. And yet in those moments of our life, when God presses pause in our lives, we learn as we patiently wait on God, not only that He's always in control, but every Christian will find this. God always has a plan. And then finally, from this passage, we see that God is always in control. God always has a plan. And then I love this thought here. God will always surround His people with His presence. That's an incredible thought tonight. God will always surround His people with His presence. Look at verses 19 and 20. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed. That's the presence of God. He removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud, which went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them. But it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. God's presence and God's power. This is going to remind you that for the first time in Scripture, as we study around this passage in the book of Exodus, for the first time God's people were experiencing His presence on a daily basis in their lives. I want you to go back to Exodus chapter 6, because there's a powerful truth here. Something that we have to understand this evening. Exodus chapter 6 and verse 1, the Bible says that God came to Moses, and the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of this land. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. That's very important that you see what he says there. All caps, Lord. That means Yahweh. That's the God of the Hebrews. It's synonymous with that name that we find there in verse 3, Jehovah, which means God who is with us. He says in verse 3, I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. He says, listen, your forefathers, they knew who I was in my power. And that's an incredible thing because we understand that our God is a powerful God. And he said, they knew how I was in my power. But look what he says, but by my name, Jehovah, my presence, was I not known to them. You know what God was telling Moses? He was saying, listen, as you go into Egypt and as you bring the children of Israel out of Egypt and into the promised land, listen, they're going to experience my power, but they're going to experience for the first time my presence. God's power and God's presence is an incredible thing as we go through the waiting times of life. And we see it in chapter 13 and verse 21. The Bible says, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them in the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Why? Because it was his presence. Chapter 14, verse 23. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all of Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and the cloud and troubled the host of the Egyptians and took off their chariot wheels that they drave them heavily so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And as the children of Israel move forward, they experienced, yes, God's power, but they also experienced his presence. Listen, I'm so thankful that not only do we serve a God who is all-powerful, you can't help but go out into nature and look at the seasons that God has given to us. You have a chance to travel and get out and see some beautiful sights in our world and realize that our God is so powerful. He spoke all that into existence. He's powerful enough to redeem us from our sins, powerful enough to keep us saved. And listen, I've watched God in my own life work and in situations, and probably you have too, where you stand back and you say, only God could have done that. That's a display of God's power. But I also want to remind you that we serve a God not only who is powerful, but a God who dwells with us every day of our lives. If you're saved tonight, you have the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life at all times, and he's with us in our valleys. He's with us in those times of pause when we're simply waiting on God. We can experience his presence in those moments, in those times of fear or uncertainty or frustration. We can experience the presence of God in our lives. The New Testament reveals that he's our comforter. Jesus said, I'll send a comforter to you. He said, listen, he will be able to do more than if I was with you to be able to comfort you. Why? Because that Holy Spirit is with us wherever we go. He's able to be with us. Not only is he our comforter, he's our guide. He helps to guide us as we live this life. And yet I find that it's in those moments of waiting, those moments of uncertainty, perhaps frustration, when I need so much to feel and to sense his presence. And I find in those moments, that's when God reveals himself to me. Because he realizes that's when I need him the most. In those moments of pause, and listen, when God presses pause in our life, we learn that he's always in control. We learn that he always has a plan and that he will always surround his people with his presence. So I don't know where you're at tonight. I know that all of us are somewhat in a waiting period of life. Feels like all of us somewhat have been put on pause here in this life, and we're kind of stuck in the middle of 2020, not sure of everything that's going on around us. But I remind you tonight that God is still in control. And God still has a plan. And God will surround you with his presence. Lord, as we come before you tonight, Lord, maybe there is someone here, Lord, that just has found themselves in a particular valley. Lord, maybe the enemy has come to them and said, give up hope. And God's lost control in your life. And Lord, maybe this message is just the reminder that they needed. Lord, I think all of us are somewhat there in that pause, waiting for the next step, waiting for your guidance. And Lord, I pray that you would reveal to us what that next step is. As every head bowed and every eye closed tonight, I just want to speak to you personally. Maybe God's placed you in that waiting room. Maybe he's working in your heart and your life right now, and maybe he's getting ready to do some amazing things in your life, but right now he's hit pause. Can I remind you, don't lose hope in God. Don't lose hope in his plans. Don't lose trust in what God desires to do in your life. Maybe there's someone here tonight watching and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Can I tell you, you can only experience the things we've talked about tonight if you have a personal relationship with God. And so tonight I invite you right there in your living room or wherever you're watching the service to fall on your knees and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and your life and to save you, to forgive you of your sins. Your life will never be the same. If you have questions about that, give us a call here at the church and we'd be happy to answer those questions. Lord, as we finish in prayer tonight, Lord, we pray that you'd be with each and every one of these that are watching tonight. Lord, all of us in that waiting room of life, waiting on the next step. And Lord, I pray that we would be reminded, like the children of Israel, Lord, that you're always in control, that you always have a plan, and that you always surround us with your presence and your power. And Lord, help us to move forward and take those steps of faith, Lord, at the time appointed when you desire for us to do so. We love you and we thank you for all these things. In your name I pray. Amen.